You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, Asbury. It's great to see you on this Monday morning. Welcome to Holy Week. We only have 4 days of class this week in order to honor Good Friday. Many of you spent worship yesterday at a church where you saw palm branches and maybe children marching in with those palm branches. Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week as we remember Jesus' final journey to the cross. And chapel this morning will set our eyes and our hearts on the final days of Christ's sacrificial life as we enter into Holy Week together. We're going to hear the story through Scripture, and we'll close chapel participating in the story through the Lord's Supper and sharing in that sacrament together. You're also going to be participating in this sacred reading of us remembering Christ's life together through Scripture. And so as that unfolds, there will be time that you will see on the screen people, and that is for all of you to respond together when you see those words on the screen. It is for your participation and for the crowd participation in the story. Our call to worship is from the opening and the closing of Psalm 22. So if you will, let's stand together as we center our hearts. As we center our hearts and prepare for the specialness of Holy Week. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. At the ends of the earth, all will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it.
To you, oh, lead me. your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. To your heart. To your heart.
The
precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, he's free indeed. Know that rugged cross, my salvation.
Miserere. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
When the morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people made their plans against Jesus to put him to death.
And they bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the Roman governor.
When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
I have sinned, for I betrayed an innocent man.
And they said to him,
What is this to us? That's your problem.
And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he left and went and hanged himself.
But the chief priests picked up the pieces of silver and said,
It's not lawful to put it into the treasury, since it is blood money.
So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. That's why it's been called the field of blood to this day.
Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord had commanded me.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus said to him,
You have said so.
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
Don't you hear how many things they testified against you?
But he gave no answer, not to even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor.
Now, it was the governor's custom to release one prisoner to the crowd each year during the Passover celebration, anyone they wanted. And this year, they had a notorious criminal in prison, a man named Barabbas.
As the crowds gathered, Pilate said to them,
Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?
For he knew it was out of envy that the leaders had arrested him. And while Pilate was sitting in the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message.
Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him.
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the people to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them,
Which of the two do you want me to release to you?
Barabbas!
Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?
And they all answered him,
Let him be crucified!
What evil has he done?
But they shouted all the more,
Let him be crucified!
So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took the water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.
And all the people answered,
His blood be on us and on our children.
Then he released Barabbas for them. He ordered Jesus to be first scourged and then handed over to be crucified.
The governor's soldiers took Jesus with them into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole company of soldiers before him.
Then they stripped him and made him wear a scarlet robe, and having twisted together some thorns into a crown, they put this on his head and put a staff in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews!
And they spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again.
After they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put him in his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him.
On their way out, they came across a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry Jesus' cross.
When they had reached a place called Golgotha, that is, the place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with bitter gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink.
They crucified him there, along with two criminals, one on his right and the other on his left.
After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat down and stayed there, keeping guard over him.
Above his head was placed the charge against him. It read,
This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.
The passers-by shouted abuse at him. They shook their heads and said,
So you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Then save yourself!
Yeah, save yourself!
If you are God's son, come down from the cross!
Yeah, come on! Do it!
The chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him in the same way.
He saved others, but he can't save himself.
He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we'll believe in him.
He puts his trust in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he did say, I am the Son of God.
One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him.
Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
But the other criminal rebuked him.
Don't you fear God, since you're under the same sentence. We're punished justly, for we're getting what we deserve. But this man's done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus answered him,
truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
From the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
When some of those who stood there heard this, they said,
the man is calling Elijah.
One of them quickly ran to get a sponge, which he dipped in wine vinegar, and putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. The others said,
wait, see if Elijah will come and save him.
But Jesus again, crying out in a loud voice, yielded up his spirit.
At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom.
The earth quaked, the rocks were split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life.
And they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to a number of people.
Now, the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became greatly afraid, saying,
truly, this was the Son of God.
And for centuries since, the church, followers of Jesus, have echoed the reality, truly, this was the Son of God. And so, as you're standing together, we're going to join in the words of our common creed, making this declaration as we prepare both our hearts and our minds to share in the Lord's Supper together. As we see these words on the screen, join with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we are all invited to the Lord's Supper this morning, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live at peace with God and with each other. And therefore, together we are going to confess our sin before God and one another. Join in these words. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Christ our Lord. Amen. It was on that final night, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he sat with his disciples, and he took bread. And he gave thanks to the Father, and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup of the new covenant and he said, "This is the blood, my blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins and the sins of many. Drink of it, and as often as you do, do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us as we begin this Holy Week. Lord, pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This morning, we are going to share in communion by intinction. And as you come to a communion station, the steward will break off a piece of bread and hand it to you. And then you'll take the bread and dip it in the cup of juice and take communion. The altar is always open during this time. During this time of communion in Hughes, it takes a little bit of work for us to maneuver. And so those of you that are on the floor, there will be stations in front of senior, junior, and sophomore section. There will also be stations in the back behind each of your sections. As your row leaves, if you can leave to the right and then go to the communion station and come back on the left, it will make some things smooth. In the balcony, if you'll do the same and leave your row to the right, the communion stations will be behind your section for those of you in B and C and E and F. And those of you in Section D, your communion stewards, you'll see them in front of you in the most convenient place. So as the stations come and arrive, you are invited to share in the Lord's Supper as we continue this time of worship together.
For us, God, flesh and bone, pour it alone.
some his children. To my knees, Lord, I lay me down.
Let's pray together. Father, you have given yourself to us. You have revealed yourself to us through your Son. You've been broken that we may have life. You've been poured out that we may be filled up. Lord, we pray that this very week you would center our hearts and our minds on the fullness of your sacrifice. Father, that as our hearts and our minds and all of who we are look towards Easter, we may receive the fullness of victory that you have given to us. Lord, go with us this week. May we walk in the path and in the way that you have unfolded in front of us. And we ask all this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you go this morning, go and have a holy, holy, holy week as we fix our eyes on Easter this week. You're dismissed.